morning, we talked ourselves happy. We talked ourselves the word. And what happened is your mind got off of everything else and got onto him. And you notice how you didn't even care about the time? You do realize that we spent more time in worship and talking and magnifying God than we ever have at this church. And I'm not knocking that. I'm not saying we did it wrong before, but God said things are changing. Because how many of you guys know, we said this before, I'm going to say it again, God can do more in 5 minutes than I can do in 45 minutes of good preaching. And so when we do that, we talk, we get our mind off of everything, it helps us out. So I want to encourage you, you know, when you get up, make sure the first thing you say, talk the good things. Now, spouses, this is not a chance to, you know, condemn your spouse if they get it wrong, you know. If they get it wrong, hit them and say, let's work on our confession together, because there's going to be days where they're probably going to need encouragement. That's not your chance to say, ha, honey, do you remember what pastor said? What are you saying out of your mouth? Because at some point, you're probably going to do it too. You're going to need encouragement. So you want to be there to encourage one another. But, you know, it ties in with what I'm going to share today. The Lord told me to talk about this. And that's one of the things he said when we were praying. He said, now you can share what I put on your heart to share with the people, because it's going to make sense when I share it with you. But when I was a kid growing up, I was not an early riser. I'm still, early is just, I don't know. I never, like, okay, let me give you an example. When I grew up in a denominational church, and they had sunrise service. And they, for some reason, thought Jesus woke up at 5. I said, show me in the Bible where he woke up at 5. I said, how do you know he didn't raise from the dead at 9:30 or 10? Like, you know. And so we always have sunrise service, and I was always like, oh, sunrise service. When I was a kid, I was like half delirious. Now, my brother's an early riser. My brother, he always got up early, always got up just kind of chipper. He was like my dad. When my dad would get up in the morning, he always did the same routine. He would take a shower, he would get up, he would shave, and he would open the window in the bathroom to let the air in to get rid of the steam. Now, how many of you know that's really pretty and nice in the summer? But in the dead of winter, glory to God, you're a teenager, and you're waking up at 6 o'clock, and you still got a good 45 minutes to an hour to sleep, and you open up that door and that cold air hits you, you think, like, glory, I'm coming home to be with Jesus. You're just like, Dad, what are you doing? So when I was a kid, I was never a person to get up early. And I can remember my mom would tell you stories. If I let her come up here, I would go to the back in the den. I would take my clothes in the winter, and we'd have a little space heater back there. I'd take my clothes and put them in front of that space heater and warm them up before I put them on, because I liked warm clothes. And I'd fall asleep in front of that space heater. And then my dad would always come in the morning and yell at me and tell me to get up for school. And the older I got, the worse I got with getting up. And so he finally got to the place to where he started to pour water on me. And he would just take a cup of water, and he wouldn't, like, dump it on me. Gosh, this just annoyed me. And I would tell him, you know, when I get to heaven, I'll be like, you and I are going to have to talk about this. But he would always take that water. Instead of go like that, he would just go like this. And just pour it a little bit and let the little drops start hitting my face. And the more I stayed in bed, the more he started pouring, to where eventually he would pour it and tip it on me and I'd fly out of bed. But my brother, like I said, my brother was the opposite. Josh was always an early riser. He just got up early. That's his personality. Right now, he gets up at 5 o'clock for work. I'm like, there ain't nothing happening in Matt's life at 5 unless the Lord Jesus wakes me up. Usually, it's my son. My son wakes me up at 5 and he wants to eat a bottle. And I'm like, oh, here we go. So when my dad would wake me up, what was he doing? He was calling for something that was asleep to life. He was breaking something that was asleep and telling it to do what? To wake up, which was me. Wake up. I can always hear his voice in the house. Wake up, Matthew, you're going to be late for school. Wake up, Matthew, you're going to miss the bus. Wake up, Matthew, you got 20 minutes. Wake up, Matthew, you got to get to school. You're going to be late to school. Matthew, wake up. What's he doing? He's waking up or calling forth something that's asleep. And I wrote this down. Today, God is saying, it's time to awaken that which is asleep. It's time to awaken what has laid dormant. It's time to awaken to what God is about ready to do. Number one, you have to understand this with God. God wants to awaken what's dead Or you could say it this way, what's asleep in your life? Go over to Ezekiel 37 and verse 1. We're going to look at a story here that most of us have heard, but I want to highlight a couple of points here. I want you to see something. This is the story of the dry bones. This is a vision that Ezekiel had about Israel, but it correlates and can help us out today. Ezekiel 37, verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out of the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, now listen to what God said to him in this dream. He said, son of man, can these bones live? So he's asking him, you know, there's a pile of bones. Can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. He's just saying, God, you know. Look at verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and notice this, and say, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews or tendons upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Look at verse 7. So what did he do? So I prophesied as I was commanded. Verse 9, he says, prophesy unto the wind. Verse 10, he says, so I prophesied as he commanded. Now the word prophesy basically means this, speak the quickening word of God. Speak. A lot of times we get caught up in that word prophecy because we're thinking forthtelling or foretelling. He's actually just saying speak. So what you could say is, instead of prophesy, you could say, and again he said unto me, speak or declare unto these dry bones. So what he was saying was this, speak to them. And notice what Ezekiel did. He heard the word of the Lord, and then he spoke what God told him to say. So that was what? Look at this. That was God's word in his mouth. And what happened when he spoke God's word in his mouth? You know what happened? Dry bones got flesh. Dry bones came to life. God told Ezekiel to speak. Ezekiel heard, and Ezekiel spoke what God told him to say. It was the word of God in his mouth that did it. God wants to awaken what is dead. He wants to awaken in your life what is asleep. And what it is, it's interesting, is on the contrary, every human probability said that these bones couldn't be brought back, but God brought them back. He restored life to them. And you know what's amazing is this. Ezekiel spoke. Now, how many of you know that can relate to us? Sounds very much like the Word of God. Come on now, does it not? I mean, God doesn't want things in your life dead. Now, things that aren't God, yeah, go ahead and die. But the things that God wants in your life, they need to be to life. And how many of you guys know sometimes things in your life have lied dormant far too long? You say, well, what do? You speak to them. Jesus, I love the story. It was it was God that did it, but when Adam and Eve, and you know what happens with Adam and Eve? They're creating everything, and God creates the animals, and what's he do? He brings them to Adam, and what does he say? What shall I call this? You know, Adam named every animal that you see. And he named it, and what he declared it is what it was. Sounds very much like Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light, and God said, let there be a sky, and let there be night and dark, and there was. And God said, and God told Ezekiel, speak what I say, and Ezekiel spoke what God said. And God brought the animals to eat Adam, and Adam said, this is what it's called. And God said, let it be. Come on now. And God spoke. Jesus spoke to who? Peter's mother-in-law spoke to the fever. Jesus said, and the fever listened, and the fever did what? The fever listened. So if there's something not working in your life that should be working, I got a word for you. Talk to the thing. Come on now. But my finances are lacking. Talk to your finances. You might say, but that's crazy. It's not crazy. It's God and it's the Bible. You know why the devil silences so many people on the talking thing? Because he doesn't want it working in your life. I mean, think about it. Like, don't you start talking to that because you're going to sound crazy. No, it's going to work and then you're going to get excited. It's like I said before, your words work with your body. Come on now, does it not? When you're tired and you're weak, the Bible says what? Let the weak say, I am strong. That's contrary to weak. Come on, you got to get up in the morning and not be, oh, I'm so weak. You got to say, I feel weak, but I'm strong in the Lord. I mean, you can say that. What happens? Your body listens. Your body has ears. You got them right here. But every organ in your body was created. Did you know the way that your DNA and the makeup of your cells, they respond to words? They actually vibrate with the living word that's spoken constantly all the time. They listen. Your body is designed to listen. Come on now. God has created everything. So he wants you to speak. So the question you have to ask yourself is this: what are you saying about your current situations? What are you saying about it? What challenges are you facing? What have you been saying about those? What have you been saying about situations in your life? You need to speak the word of God. Hebrews says the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It never said the word of God is dead. It says the word of God is living, which means you can declare that word over yourself, your family, your finances, whatever it is, and that word will work. I love what Scripture says. The word goes forth and accomplishes that which it was sent forth to do. So how many of you know when you speak that word, it accomplishes that which you send it forth to do? So if you say it, it will go out and do it, and then it'll come back fulfilling what it's gone out to do. So that means when you pray for something and you don't see it change, you don't have to worry whether or not it's changing. It's already changing because you declared it. You might say, but it doesn't look like my money's changing. Doesn't mean God's not working. You know, but my body doesn't feel any different. Doesn't mean God's not working. How many of you have ever been sick with something and you go to the doctor and they give you medicine? What do? You pop that medicine in your mouth and you go on with your day. How many of you know a lot of times it takes how long? 24, 48 hours for it to start working. So how many of you say that'd be a little crazy if I took that pill and I took it, and 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh, it ain't working. When'd you take it? 20 minutes ago. Maybe let it work a little bit. What are you doing? Let it work. Let it work. And then it comes to pass. It works. I had my wisdom teeth pulled a while back. And I will say they gave me Valium. That stuff works, yo. Woo! I was high as a kite. I was seeing things, and it was bad. I was talking to my brother on the phone. I texted people. I don't even know texting. I got done with my surgery, and the next day I looked at my phone. And I was like, did I text these people? My wife said, yeah. And I said, why'd you let me do that? Like, I was driving down the road. I was seeing multiple lanes. I went into the house. My wife was in there, and it took me a long time to get inside in the house. And we went in, and she asked me a question, and I hugged her, and I told her she was my best friend. And then I just started crying on the bed. And next day I woke up, I don't remember hardly any of it, but she said, you were like drama to the nth degree. I said, well, I'm not big on the drug thing, so that tells you how I would be, so that's why I don't do none of them, because I said, you see how I act? I can't affect that. I don't like that. But that drug, man, that drug worked. Same thing with God's word, it works. And you know, that what was amazing with that pill, I literally took it, and within 10 minutes I was in a happy place. Real happy place. I was texting people and having a time of my life. The word of God, when you speak it, it doesn't even take 10 minutes to work. I'm talking glory to God. 30 seconds and it works. 2 seconds, it works. when I declare over myself, body, you are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Stand up and be strong and healed and whole in Jesus' name. Right now, my body is listening to what I'm saying, and it's saying, we're working. Let's do this. When I talk to my blood cells, when I talk to my legs, when I talk to my heart, when I talk to my mind, I tell my mind, you're sharp and attentive, and you know things, and you hear the Spirit of God, and you remember stuff. You don't forget things. I tell my eyes all the time, eyes, you listen to what I'm saying. You work. And you work with my brain, and you have good balance. And ears, you work with my eyes and my brain, and you work in unison. Be not. If it be not, speak as though it be. Come on now. If it's not working like it should, start talking to the thing. And you got to hold on to that. So you got to find out, what is it that God's telling me to do? What is it in my life that's not right? And start speaking that living word over it. I'm going to get you on this one here. Hold on to your chair. If you're married and your spouse isn't where you want them to be, start talking to your spouse. Now, you don't got to do it in front of them, okay? But do it like when you're taking a shower, cleaning up. Start declaring them. My wife or my husband hears the voice of God. They serve you faithfully all the years of their life. They're coming back into relationship with you. They're going to serve you. They're going to turn away from the works of the devil and turn towards the things of God. Start declaring over them, my husband is full of joy, but he's not. I didn't say go by what you see. If it be not, speak, declare it. Now, I do know God makes us have personalities. I get that. I understand that. We all have different personalities. But, you know, come on, we can speak and declare the word of God over our spouses. My wife speaks things over me. You know, and the thing that I've learned is, there are things that my wife does, that's her personality, it's how she is, it's how she handles things, but I can speak the word of God over her. I can speak that she's sensitive, I can speak that she's confident. I mean, I've told the Lord a number of times, even recently, in the last week, I was praying for my wife and my family, and I just told the Lord, I said, I know what you want me to declare over her, I'll declare it, but you got to talk to her. Because I said, you know her better than me, and she'll listen to you. And I said, if you want me to tell her, I'll tell her, but it's got to be the right time, the right place, the right hour. Otherwise, you talk to her. What am I doing? I'm declaring. See, when I pray, I tell God. I talk to God. I tell him what his word says. See, God doesn't want you coming into prayer. Now, I'm just going to be honest. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm just going to use this word and understand why I'm using it. God doesn't want you praying sissy prayers. He wants you praying bold prayers, confident prayers. Prayers that say, my God will do what I said he'll do. See, that's how God made us. He's wired us that way. It's how he created Adam and Eve. So when we don't operate in that, we feel less. Now, come on, I'm a man. I like, you know, hey, pay attention, you know. My kid right now is like everywhere. He's like, you know, opening the dishwasher, and I'm like, hey, we don't do that. Don't stick your hand in that. That's called an outlet. You'll get spiky hair when you're done, and I don't want you to have that right now, you know. But I say, hey, pay attention, Dax, hey, listen to me. But, you know, that's how we need to be with God. We say, hey, it's me. Yeah, what do you want? Here's what I want, because you said it, and this is what I'm asking for, and I believe it's going to happen. I've seen too many believers, they just pray sissy prayers. Oh, God, I pray, please, please help me. No, Lord, I thank you that you said you will help me. So help me in Jesus' name. You know, oh, my wife, she's acting up. Oh, please, Lord, please help my wife. No, in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're helping my wife. I thank you that she's smart and she knows you and she follows you. Oh, I mean, please, God. Oh, now don't pray this, if it be thy will. If it be thy will, if it's God's will, then it's your will for his life, for your life. Amen? You know, don't say, oh, if it be thy will, prosper me at my job. Say, Lord, you want me to prosper at my job. I thank you that I prosper. I thank you that the favor of God is upon my life and I increase. And I thank you that your blessing is being manifested in my life and I can be a blessing to those around me. Just get bold in what you say. And you know what? It doesn't intimidate God. It's not like when you get bold, God's like, whoa, 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 slow down. Now, I will say, if God's telling you to do something, you talk back to God, he may say, ha, calm down, because I've done that number. But I'm saying, when you see something in your life that is not as it should be, that is dead, not alive, not working like it should, start talking to it. Find out what it is, write it down, get scripture on it. The next thing you got to do, you got to call it by name. That's what he did. That's what Jesus did with Lazarus. Over there in John 11:11, you can write that down. Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, and he called forth Lazarus. And notice what he said. He said his name and called him forth. Now, most people know this, but some of you might not have heard this. If Jesus wouldn't have said Lazarus' name and he would have just said for everybody to come forth or come forth, every dead person would have hopped out of that grave. He had to get specific. He had to be focused in what he said. He had to be focused. Sometimes you got to speak to what's there, but then sometimes you got to get the stone out of the way to let what's resurrected come out. There's some hindrances in some of your life. You need to get it out of the way and speak to what's there to bring it out so that it'll come forth in your life. You say, what's a hindrance in my life? Well, a stone may be unforgiveness. Stone may be bitterness. So what do? If you're calling something to life and it raises up, well, you're going to have to say, get out of the way, stone, so what's hidden can come out. So if there's something in your life that you're declaring, for example, if I'm declaring over my wife something, I speak to it, but then if I have bitterness or anger towards her, I need to ask God to forgive me for that. So then what is there can come out. Because how many of you know bitterness and anger will stop what's coming out? That stone did what? It stopped Lazarus. Jesus said this, Lazarus, come forth. And then he said what? Get the stone out of the way. Could you imagine if he said, Lazarus, come forth. Just leave the stone there. We'll see what happens. If Lazarus would have been banging on that stone, hey, let me out of here. Hey. But he said, come out. But he said, get the stone out of the way. So call it by name. Get focused. What is it in your life that you need to speak to? What is it that you need to talk to? What is it that you need to declare the Word of God? It's the living Word of God. In that vision, he brought dry bones with flesh and tendons back on them and made them an army. I mean, think about it, guys. Is there anything impossible for God? Bible says no. So just because it doesn't look like it's changing, just because it seems impossible, does not mean it cannot happen. You got to call it by name. You got to declare the Word of God. You got to get focused with what you're talking to. It's kind of like, anybody ever go hunting? It's a difference between a buckshot and a single bullet. A buckshot scatters, but a single bullet is more accurate. A buckshot, you can't shoot very far, but a single bullet, you can shoot miles. You want to have a single bullet. You want to be focused in your prayer. You want to know what it is. Get the scriptures down and say, get ready. We're going to call this thing by name and we're going to talk to it and be focused. Don't just kind of buckshot it and hope you hit it. Anybody ever done that in your prayer life? Good. I'm the only one. I mean, I used to throw prayers up and just be like, I would get answers and be like, how in the world did I get an answer? I don't even know what I did. And that's a lot of believers. A lot of believers are like, I got an answer, but I don't know how it worked. But I'll tell you this much, if you want it to work all the time, how many of you guys like good success? Prayer life, if you want it to work, find out what the Word says, declare the Word of the Lord, and just stand on that Word until you see it come to pass. But you get focused on it. So if it's my body, I find out what's wrong, and I get the Word on it, what God says, I put that Word in my mouth, and I speak it. Single shot it. Boom. Accurate. Every time. Every time. Every time. And then I stand on that Word. And what do? I stand, and I'm going to see it come to pass. But is it working? Your body doesn't seem like it's getting any better. Don't matter what it looks like, it's getting stronger every day. It's getting stronger every day. It's getting healthier every day. It's working right now in my body. It's working right now in my leg. It's working right now in my arm. It's working right now in my finger. It's working. It's working. It's working. And what will happen is glory to God. As you stand, it will come to pass. Because the Word of the Lord never returns void. You know, I told this story. I think I might have told you guys this story. When I worked in Oklahoma, I cleaned vent hoods. I got on roofs and cleaned vent hoods. And we cleaned these massive vent hoods. And this was like one of my first really big jobs. I went to a hospital a couple hours away. We stayed all night in a hotel. I was with the owner. of the company, and we did this job, and I was up in this on this roof of this hospital, and I was literally, this vent was so big I could crawl in it. Was how big it was. It's massive, massive thing. And so I cleaned this vent and da-da-da-da. It was, I think it was like the second night we were doing the job. And they implemented this new rule. They had these custom nozzles. And they said, if you lose a nozzle, it comes out of your paycheck. Because guys were just losing them like they were candy, you know, just like shooting them everywhere. And so, I mean, and the nozzles weren't cheap, you know, $400 or $500. I mean, it's custom machine-made nozzle. So I was on the roof one night, and I was changing my nozzle to a higher power nozzle, and I went like this, and I pulled the quick connect down, and I hit the hose for some reason. I hit the trigger or something, and man, that nozzle went, I mean, it's like a rocket ship. And it's 12 o'clock at night, y'all. It's dark, and the roof is gravel, and the nozzle's that big, and it's gray. And I shot it off, and I was like, oh, and I'm thinking, paycheck, 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 paycheck. So I started learning about God's word, and I started learning about prayer, and I started learning about believing the word. I started learning about being led by the Holy Spirit, and so I thought, I'm going to put this to practice and see if this works. So I said, Lord, I shot the nozzle off, like he didn't know. Just so you know, I shot the nozzle, but you know where it is. And I thank you that you know where that nozzle is, and you'll show me where that nozzle is, and I thank you that I'll find that nozzle. And then I said, Lord, I thank you I know the voice of the Holy Spirit, and you'll lead me to where that nozzle is. And I said, it's easy for me to hear your voice, not hard. I'm a believer. This will be easy. So I prayed that prayer, and I looked for the nozzle, and I didn't find it the first night. Didn't find it. And went to the hotel that night, had these thoughts in my mind all night. What about the nozzle? What about the nozzle? Where's the nozzle? What about the nozzle? $400 out of your paycheck. What about the nozzle? What about the nozzle? I kept silencing every thought. I know where that nozzle is because I asked God. I'm not going to worry about it. I went to bed. Got up the next night and went to work that night. We cleaned the roof again and did our job. And the whole time in between, I'm looking for that nozzle, looking for that nozzle. It's dark. Gravel roof. Huge roof. Biggest, probably as big as this room. I mean, nozzle shooting out at 1,500 PSI can end up in your neighbor's front yard. And I was like, okay, so I start looking, and I'm looking with a flashlight, a dinky flashlight, not like high-powered spotlight. I mean a flashlight, you know. And the boss yells up, hey, you need to clean up and da-da-da-da and wrap up. We're getting ready to go and da-da-da. And I said, I'm looking for the nozzle. He said, okay, well, you need to clean up and, you know, come on. So I start cleaning up, and I let everything down, and in between I'm looking for the nozzle. But the whole time, Lord, I thank you know where that nozzle is. Thank you that I hear your voice. It's easy for me to hear your voice. Thank you, Lord. But I got my mind saying one thing and my heart saying something else. How many of you know faith is of the heart, not of the head? So it's here. I knew it. I knew in my heart. I said, Lord, you're faithful. And so long story short, I started looking, and my boss yelled up one more time, hey, we got to get ready to go. We got to go. We got to get heading home. It's late. I mean, I think it's like 2 in the morning, something like that. And I said, I'm looking for that nozzle. Give me a second. He said, you got 5 minutes, and we got to go. I said, Lord, I thank you for that nozzle. Thank you for that nozzle. Thank you, Lord, that you know where it is. And I'm looking, and tell you the truth, I think I had 2 minutes left, and my light hits it, and right there by the thing is my nozzle. And the guy says, you ready to go? And I grab that nozzle, and I throw it, and I say, yeah, I found my nozzle on the roof. You know what? That's how God worked at that job my whole life. What did I do? What did I need? What did the Bible say? I believed it. I called it forth, and I stood on that word, and it was God's word, and it happened as God said it. I had that happen with a nozzle again. I shot the nozzle off again. You think I would have learned? I did it again. I did it at a Sonic in the middle of Booneyville in Oklahoma. Booneyville. Shot the nozzle off. Ended up on the roof on the ledge. Found it. Did it again when I was at another job at a casino. And I asked the Lord, I forgot to pack the water key, y'all. That's not good when you use water at your job. Water key, do you know what that is? You use it at every location, and they have a hose you hook up, and they have a water key. And you have to have a water key to turn the water on. That way nobody can just come up and turn the faucet on. You have to have a key, and we had a key for the casino to do it. And I forgot it. Not good. Not good at all when you're doing like a massive job, 7 stories up in the air and all this stuff. I mean, it's not good. So it's freezing cold, and I couldn't get the water shut off because I didn't have a water key. I lost the water key. So I told the Lord, Lord, I thank you that you can help me. I asked the Lord. The Lord showed me how to shut off a faucet without a water key. And when I did it, I told my boss, I said, the Lord showed me how to do that. He was blown away. But you know what's interesting? Every time from that point on, everywhere, every division forgot the water key, they told them how to do it by the method I used. Ah, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. I was like, totally wasn't me. Still use it to this day. I'm not going to tell you how to do it because I don't need you all turning on fire hydrants. You shouldn't be turning on. But what did I do? I saw what I had a need of. I found out what the Word said. I learned it. I applied it to my life, and I stood. And every time, God helped me. So what am I telling you today? God wants you to speak to things in your life if they're not as they should be. If things are lying dormant, if things need to change, if it's your marriage, your relationships, if it's your job, if it's your finances, if it's your body, whatever it is, number one, he wants to awaken that. The second thing he wants you to do is he wants you to call it by name. He wants you to declare it. And the third thing to remember is this. When you do this, you will always have naysayers. You'll always have people that tell you you're crazy. You'll always have people tell you it doesn't work. You always have people that'll tell you to let go. You always have people tell you that word stuff doesn't work and that's weird. But you know what? You just stay with the Bible. You just stay with the Word. And here's the thing. When it works in your life, then the naysayers will be like, well, how did that happen? Now you have an opportunity to tell them. Now you have an... See, when God does something in your life, he does it not just for you, but he wants others to see it. And you're always going to have, you always, every person in this room will raise your hand and tell you, you will always have people that disagree with what you believe. You always will. You can't get everybody on the same page. You can't. Because you'll say, I think you ought to mow the grass at an inch. And somebody will say, I think you ought to mow it an inch and a half. It's just how it is. So somebody, you're going to tell somebody, I'm believing God for my finances to turn around. That's crazy. Well, that's okay. If you think I'm crazy, we'll see in 10 years who's crazy. You know, and that's the thing, and I make mention of this, and then we're going to pray, but, you know, I make mention of this. When you stand on the Word and it works, it calls for it. Your family will see it. Your friends will see it. I know of a story, Brother Lonnie would tell me that I'm telling you the truth. I'm not making this up. Pastor Marvin and Brother Lonnie, those of you that know, they came out of the Amish background. And when they came out of that background, it just... There was a lot of hurt there, a lot of things that they went through personally. And I remember Pastor Marvin stood on the Word through a lot of persecution, a lot of stuff that he went through. Same with Brother Lonnie. They both did. And I remember Pastor Marvin had the story. It was in the Word of Faith magazine. He had the story that one of his relatives, their child fell off, I think it was a grain bin. Amish young kid fell off of a grain bin. You know how high a grain bin is? Fell on his face. You know who they called to pray? Pastor Marvin, because he knew how to pray. You know who they called to stand? Pastor Marvin, because they saw God work in his life. You know who they thought before, like, is this stuff working? This a little weird? They thought Pastor Marvin, but guess what they were doing? Out of the side of their eye, they were watching to see if it worked. And when something happened in their life and they needed God, they called him. You say, what happened? The boy was completely healed. The boy was. It was in a magazine. I mean, there was a picture of the boy, and he was completely healed. His face was. And Pastor Marvin was able to minister to his relatives and say, here's what we do. Here's what the Bible says. Here's how we get accurate. Here's what we declare. And this is what we do. And they did it, and they saw God move. So it works. Amen. So you will have naysayers, but just know this. I always think of this. You have a naysayer, but they're always watching you out of the corner of their eye. They'll say one thing, like, oh, you're crazy. And then they're like, I wonder if this really works, because if it does, I may try it. You know, you believe in God for finances. I wonder if this works. I think we may try it. They're watching you, and they're watching what you say. They're watching what you do. So that's why, number one, we find out what we need to talk to. We find out what it is in our life that we want to change, and we get ready to talk to that thing like God told Ezekiel and as God has said throughout his Word. But then not only do we say... You know, that's what he says in Mark 11:23, have faith in God. Therefore, if I say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in your heart, but believe everything which you sayeth, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So whatever you say, so you find out what it is, what's the mountain, what's the problem, what's the issue in your life, you get your scripture on it, then you call that thing by name, and you say, listen up here. I got some words for you. Not the wrong words, okay? The right words, what the Bible says, okay? Don't call it the wrong thing. Call it the right thing. And call it what God's word says. And say, God's word says this about this. And you declare that. And then you say, I thank you, Lord, you're working. And then you stand on that. And you don't let go of it until you see it come to pass. And when the naysayers say stuff or people say stuff, you just keep standing. Amen? You just keep standing. I remember years ago when Brother Hagin was preaching one time at a church, people, I'm saying this just because it's kind of funny, but, you know, people were saying one time, back then, Pentecostal people were weird. Pentecostal or people that believe the word, you know, they were on the wrong side of the tracks weird. And, you know, nobody wanted to go to their church. Nobody wanted to come to their church. Well, when they saw God's word started working, people started showing up. People getting healed, people getting delivered, God's word working in their life. And so churches started filling up and things started changing. I remember one time, Brother Hagin was talking, and he said, you know, people always worried about, oh, we don't want people to see us at that word church or that church that preaches the word or that Pentecostal church. He said, don't worry about it. You're already guilty because they see your car in the parking lot. You're already here. So you already jumped on in. Amen. People know you come to church here. But it's a good thing because they see your car out there and they're watching you. Because, you know, I think of it this way. They drive by and they go, oh, that's Brother Lonnie's car. Oh, he's that believes that word stuff. But what are they doing? They're watching Brother Lonnie. They're watching Brother Lonnie. And then when their life, something comes up, they'll go, I went by and Brother Lonnie, you can I be honest with you? You know how many people, this is so funny, but it's funny, but it's not. You know how many people in this town I know that go to other churches that call me, and you know what they say? Pray. Because we know you know how to pray and get results. And I'm like, what, does your pastor not know how to pray? You go to church? Like, you ought to know what I know. Like, you know, I know how to pray. But you know how many people call me? They'll call me and say to me, pray. I mean, seriously, they'll have prayer requests. Oh, well, we gave it to our church, but we want you to pray because you get results. See, people know you're already here, so that's a good thing because why? They know that you get results. They know that what you're doing is working, and what it is it's speaking to people in this community. So you guys, you're blessed, amen? And you just stay connected because we're going places, good places, amen? Things are just picking up. I mean, seriously, I feel like, I don't know, I just feel like I got turboed 2 weeks ago. I just feel like I got turbo juiced. Like, I feel like I got a download of some things, and God just wants to do stuff. And just hold on, you know. Anybody ever fly? Dave and I were talking about this after church last week, you know. Anybody ever fly? What do they say? Please put your trays in the upright position and buckle your seatbelts and hold on because it's about right. I always like airplanes because I'm like, let's just juice this thing up, man, like 900 miles an hour. Let's just see how fast we could go. That's how it is. God is really putting in my heart for this church. Put your trays in the upright position. Buckle your seatbelts. It's about to get really good. Amen? So just make sure you do that. Write some notes down. Practice that this week and the rest of your life. I guarantee it'll work, and you'll learn and grow in that area, and some things will start to change. And then when we have testimony time, you'll be able to come up and say, Pastor, I got a testimony. You preached a message so long ago, and I did this, and I want to share with the church what happened in my life, and it'll be good. Amen? Well, let's do this. Let me pray for you before I let you go today. Father, I just thank you so much for these men and women. Lord, we are just excited at Life Point Church. Lord, excited about what you're doing. Excited about what you're doing in our life. Excited about what you're going to do. And Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you that the word works. And we can just apply it. We can apply it. Yeah, Lord, you made it easy to do the word. You didn't make it hard. You just kept it simple for us. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that like Ezekiel, we put that word in our mouth, the living word of God, and we declare what your word says over our situations, our circumstances, our relationships, our families, our friends, whatever it is, we just declare that word. And Father, we believe that when we declare that word, it's working. It's working. It's working in lives. It's working in situations. It's working behind scenes. It's working when we sleep. It's working when it's just working all the time. And we thank you, Lord, that we're going to stand on that word. We're not going to let go of it, no matter what anybody says, because we know that you're not a man that you should lie. So if you said it, we believe it, that settles it. And we believe that word. And so I thank you for every person here today in the sound of my voice. Lord, today was a day of stirring up of the things of God, not only in worship and encouraging one another, but just stirring ourselves up about what you want to do in our life and in this church's life. And Father, we believe great things are in store for us and great things are in store for every person that is here. And even those that are coming in later and they're going to join this church, we thank you. They just jump right on in and we're all running this together, working together for the kingdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and your goodness in our life. We thank you for all that you've done and all that you continue to do. We believe that a great week is in store of us because you're for us and you're not against us. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name.